Hi, I'm Ben Rizzuto, wealth strategist at Janus Henderson Investors. Is a brighter future possible? At Janus Henderson, we think it is. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. We know that this means our thinking and our investments are helping to shape millions of futures. At Janus Henderson, we are committed to helping you invest in a brighter future for the next 90 years and beyond. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at Post 9 of the New York Stock Exchange. Closing out the month of April, first down month since October, and futures are weak as employment costs come in hot ahead of Friday's jobs number, 10-year 467. Our roadmap begins with a flood of blue-chip earnings to digest. McDonald's, 3M, Coke, all on the move post-results.
Another big name to watch is Eli Lilly. It is one of the top gainers pre-market on the S&P, posting that profit beat, hiking that full-year guidance by $2 billion.
Whoa, man.
And Elon Musk is reportedly going, quote, absolutely hardcore around headcount and cost reduction as Tesla plans for more layoffs.
Let's begin with futures moving lower in reaction to this ECI data, with the Fed kicking off its two-day meeting today. Jim, 4-2 year-on-year, maybe a little warm.
Yeah, you know, we just don't have what we want in these numbers, which then allows the Wall Street Journal story this morning talking about how the Powell feels very good about higher for longer. I still think that March was weak and that you're not going to get a really strong number from April, but housing, you know, shelter, that's bad. But there also, there's this overall tone, and we're going to get to a McDonald's. They did a very good graphic on the on Squawk, which shows you how much a burger's going up. And there's just this belief among people that there's no controlling this thing. Now, I think actually we do get control, but when you see the one of the stunning things is when Walmart got rid of 51 clinics because they can't make any money because people are too expensive. David, we're in a period where everyone just figures it's still going to be inflationary. That mental instinct about inflationary has not been broken.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't been broken. That has to break.
What breaks it?
A recognition that that companies can't offer what they're offering, that they have to lower prices to get customers to come in. So you get a thing. Let's take McDonald's. Okay, so McDonald's misses, all right? And you know, the rest of the restaurants have been pretty good. But let's say McDonald's misses. Here's what has to happen.
Misses on earnings.
Yeah.
Is what you're
they
saying.
Have
yeah.
to go to their franchisees and say, yep. Hey, you know what, guys? We raised the price too much. I want a burger that's less money. Now, David, the franchisees do not want to take that hit. But they're not in sync with what the CEO and the shareholders are in sync with.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to bite the bullet. I'm not calling for Marlboro Monday here, Friday here. I'm not calling for one of those where they just
right.
boom. But look at this. You can't charge that. The people who pay that don't have it, okay? So what they have to do is say, you know what? We're going to take the hit. We're going to cut our earnings. We're going to lower the price of our burgers. The franchisees have to take the hit, and then the stock comes back. But you got to lower the price.
Well, they're not talking about price cuts, but they are talking about larger burgers. That's one of the big things on the call
right,
this morning.
Right, and they're trying because larger burgers are something that the franchisees can get behind. But this is an era where if you don't offer a rollback, like Walmart's rollback, like Costco's rollback, some things, then you're just not going to get the numbers. McDonald's doesn't have the numbers. Now, Brinker has a higher price, and Kevin Hochman can afford to raise price. And he's been willing to lose lower end customers because he makes a lot of money off. They're the largest margarita maker in the country.
Right. And you know what the margins are on margaritas, having owned a bar previously.
No, David, not that good. They're about 97%.
Really? You couldn't do 4X on that?
You know, I tried to get him to 98% over and over and
just
over again. I just couldn't
get
do
there,
it.
Huh? 97%.
Yeah, and beer, by the way, on Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't give free beer. We had $10 beer on Cinco de Mayo. And then what happens is you have a good year, not quarter, year.
Hence Brinker is able to make some money on that higher end
yes,
customer is willing to buy a
lot of
margaritas.
Because the higher end customer is in the higher end, meaning the guy who pays $25, not sensitive to paying $28.
Well, QSR is up 3 pre-market. Tap is up, I think, 4, or maybe 2 pre-market, Jim.
Well, QSR, it's very interesting that the division that didn't make it is Burger King. But Tim Hortons made it big. They had great numbers, 6.9 comp versus 5.7. Popeyes, which is a great bargain, they came in very, very strong, 4.6 versus 3.4. Now, I have Pat Doyle on tonight, who's executive chairman. And James Quincy. Wow. Yes, I have Quincy, too.
And Blockbuster. Blockbuster.
Incredible, huh?
Yeah, amazing.
Just incredible. Yeah. It was Mission Impossible, and I put it together.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Do they play the music? Yeah. You can play the music.
Yeah, exactly.
Is the show 10 minutes long?
On the show.
Just like they did on the 9-minute Paramount call?
Yeah. Yes, but look, QSR is really, really well run. Really well run. And I just think that you see these numbers, and the EBITDA is really good, and the margins are good, and you stack it up against McDonald's, and you start thinking, why is McDonald's not doing as well?
Well, it's international, and a lot of that has to do with what we've been talking about since October 7th regarding how foreigners see American brands.
Well, that's
tentpole
true.
Brands.
That's true. I'm not going to deny that. But I think that it will wear thin if we get that next quarter, because we want these companies to say, listen, we're cutting numbers because we don't think the protests end. No one wants to do that because no one really wants to acknowledge the boycotts and protests. That just brings more attention. I just think that, look, as someone who's picking stocks, I don't care. I want to find the ones that don't have the problem. David, they do not have the problem at Brinker.
They don't have the problems at Brinker.
They didn't have the problem at Chipotle.
No, they didn't.
So I can't sit here and say, you know what? I feel badly about McDonald's. I'm going to take the beating because of the protests, but I'm going to take, you know, doesn't matter. That's not the way the market works.
Starbucks also having some issues with those?
That's tomorrow morning's business.
Yeah.
We'll find out tonight.
I would think they had it last time.
I know.
But, you know, look, do you want to look at Columbia University versus Starbucks? I don't know. I mean, you can see what's happening at universities, and you can make the case. But the viewer at home, frankly, doesn't care. They want Eli Lilly. They don't want McDonald's. You know, they're not staying thick and thin for McDonald's.
Well, maybe Eli Lilly is another reason why people aren't eating as many burgers. I don't know.
Okay, so we know.
Can remember that period, is it a year ago, where so many of these companies that relied on people's appetites started to suffer as a result of a belief that GLP-1s would have a significant impact
Absolutely.
On the eating ability of the American consumer. Well, the GLP-1 numbers only continue to go up. And, by the way, the number of different maladies that can be treated only increases as well.
Right, but,
hence a $2 billion increase in the overall numbers Lilly.
David
Rick
said that it's very good against sleep apnea. Now, I had ResMed, the number one company that's against sleep med, and what they said was, look, sales are actually up because people are discovering they have this from the GLP-1 when they go with the doctors because it's part of obesity, and their sales have gone up. So I asked James Quincy this morning, is it possible, Coca-Cola, that the numbers have gone up because you can now drink as much as you want and not gain weight?
And so it's different than when we saw that swoon in so many of those stocks for that period of time where we wondered?
Yeah, but he said, no, what it really is that they like Diet Coke and Coke Zero. Those numbers are up big.
You still do, I mean, as it proliferates through the population, I don't know.
It's liquor. That has been hit.
It's liquor. For alcohol.
I don't believe I know.
You know.
I know because my wife is in the liquor business. And I see the numbers of liquor. And there is a dramatic decline in the drink. And by the way, I'm talking about spirits. I'm talking about hard liquor. I'm not talking about
beer.
Then
also, if you're on these things, then also be extended to food consumption.
Okay, so what people are saying is that liquor doesn't taste like liquor.
Uh-huh.
That the taste of is different in liquor.
Nor does coffee, for that matter.
Yeah. But
really?
Soda.
Coffee?
Soda is not being hurt as much as people thought.
And this is all, of course, on a medication. Zepbound's first full quarter in the U.S. That is a shot. And Andrew asked David Ricks about the possibility of moving to an oral treatment. Take a listen.
We're about a year out from the first data that could confirm the safety and efficacy of that pill. It's called orforglipron, a long name now. We'll come up with another brand name. But it's a GLP-1 agonist, so it's only one mechanism. Tirzepatide's probably going to be more effective because it's two mechanisms. But that can go a long way, and we're excited to get that data in 25.
They're ahead of everybody. I mean, there's guys who say that they're close, but the problem is that they're often close, and then it turns out it hurts your stomach, or it turns out you want to throw up.
Yeah,
I mean, but no one wants to throw up and lose weight. It's rather extraordinary. You know, it's extraordinary.
Right.
Right? I mean, because this is not people who purge. This is people who like the taste of things and just don't eat as much. But that's
right.
They'll get it. They'll get it right. They'll get it right.
And it will be something you take for the rest of your life, potentially.
Well, what's
in the
happening?
Same way you take your cholesterol medicine if you have high cholesterol, or even if you don't.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, okay. It's chronic. That's called chronic.
Well, that's what makes it a beautiful thing. It's not just treating something, for example, that we saw with Gilead when it had that huge run-up, and then its medicine for hep C did what it was supposed to,
right,
and then it was done.
Look, I've invented a medicine. I got a patent on it. It's for tinnitus, okay? The only problem is you got to take it four times a day. But you know what the drug companies say? Hey, hell great, four times a day. I mean, this is unfortunate. This is, again, the Walmart problem. They can't make money in the clinics. The American healthcare system is so broken. We know that. I mean, how much does Eli Lilly make on each shot? What do you think?
I think they do very well.
Yeah, I saw this guy Drucker.
I think they do very well. That said, they did spend the money to develop the intellectual property.
Well, you sound like Jensen now.
And there should be some opportunity to profit from all of those years of work that went into it.
Well, I mean, Jensen would say you have to pay the price of how much it costs for them to develop Blackwell.
Right.
Now, Blackwell's...
I mean, it's not... You know, these people who argue, well, look what it costs to make a pill. Yeah, of course, once you're manufacturing the actual pill, it doesn't cost anything.
No, it's arguably that it's like a can of soda. The injector costs more than the stuff that's in it. I had this fellow, Dan Drucker, who I met at the time when
I remember,
who was involved with this, and he's not crazy about how much it costs versus how much it takes to make.
I don't know where that line is between getting your deserved return on great science and being a pig, so to speak.
Right. Well, how much does it cost to get a Big Mac and fries versus 10 years ago?
Apparently a lot more.
Well, there, I rest my case.
I haven't been in a McDonald's in a long time.
No?
No.
The egg McMuffin's still very good.
There's one right around the corner.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No.
I do my
best. I'll take you.
Tim Hortons, apparently, is the coffee that some people say is not as good, but the numbers are great.
Yeah. So much to get to. David's got a ton on media, of course. We'll
really?
Get to 3M,
yeah,
Eaton, Chegg, PayPal,
good.
NXP. Closer look at Tesla here. A day after that huge 15% surge and futures negative as we look forward to Amazon tonight. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Ben Rizzuto, wealth strategist at Janus Henderson Investors. Is a brighter future possible? At Janus Henderson, we think it is. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. We know that this means our thinking and our investments are helping to shape millions of futures. At Janus Henderson, we are committed to helping you invest in a brighter future for the next 90 years and beyond. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
Let's get straight to the point. You want to grow your portfolio to fight rising costs of inflation or pay off your debt or anything standing in the way of you and financial freedom, right? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, can help. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been helping great investors like you. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just looking for tips, Yahoo Finance makes it super easy by putting all the tools and data you need in one spot. Yahoo Finance takes a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and more. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. That's how Yahoo Finance gives you insights and helps you take a look at your wealth in its entirety. That big picture perspective is what great investors need. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
Tesla pulling back a bit pre-market one day after surging 15%. These published reports say the company is now instituting another round of layoffs, including some senior executives and hundreds of employees in its supercharger unit. Earlier this month, Tesla did announce it was cutting more than 10% of its workforce. The information, Jim, says this is probably in addition to that. Head of new vehicles leaving, head of the supercharger network leaving.
Look, to me, it sounds like a year of living efficiently. I don't think any... I don't know whether this place got fat and happy. I do know that there is a level, David, you can speak to this, of rigor, the way he runs his company.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine a Musk-run company ever getting fat and happy. That just doesn't seem to be
Okay, well, then
words that you would associate.
Are you firing people that you need?
Well, I don't
better,
know.
Maybe you're one. Yeah, better yeah, people. Maybe these guys were blockers to better people.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you're just saying maybe they're being fired because they cost too much.
Maybe, or I mean, they're looking to cut costs, right? We know that.
Right.
They're looking
right,
to
right.
obviously save money in a much more competitive market.
Right.
Where they got to try to save margin as best they can as they compete, as we've said, against a number of EV makers, many of them from China, again, at different price points. The Tesla lovers out there will say, hey, there's no comparison still in terms of quality and everything else you get. Obviously, we're coming off a very strong day yesterday in which the company's market value exceeded $600 billion. Again, this on the news that full self-driving is going to be at least allowed to be introduced in China as
Phil,
a potential
Phil
technology.
Said, Phil LeBeau said it is a very big deal, so I don't get in the way of that. But I
no.
will say, if this were Ford, here's what the narrative would be.
Yeah.
David, it's falling apart.
I don't
know. They're losing good people. No, I'm saying
that. Oh, if you were saying this was going on at Ford,
right,
it would be.
Because I'm saying that at Musk, we say, hey, you know what? It's probably getting better. At Ford, we would say, uh-oh. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, it's a narrative issue.
Does that make you bitter?
Does it make?
Yeah. As a Ford supporter?
No, David, I've had genuine bitterness in my life. That does not make me bitter.
Okay, good. I'm glad, then.
I would want me to go, if we have to talk about what makes me bitter.
I didn't, actually,
lead into the Eisenhower.
The Eisenhower.
I was waiting for that.
I thought it was. On Ford, just curious.
Oh,
I mean,
what? Because my child trust is not doing well. I'm actually up on the position. Go ahead, Boeing me. I don't care.
Why do you own it?
Why do I own it? It's got a great yield. I think they're ready to do a buyback. The stock is up, and I'm stupid. Take your pick. Like, am I worried about Starbucks tomorrow because we own it? No, not at all. You see, because I'm an idiot.
There's gonna be a ton tonight.
Here's the problem. When you pick a stock and it goes down, it's not the fault of the CEO. It's your fault. It's my fault. And I've known this all my life. So if I see a company that's doing poorly, it's on me. It's on me, okay? It's not on someone else.
And conversely, if you got a winner, who gets the credit?
It's on them.
Yeah, you had nothing to do with it, right?
It's true. No, I'm saying that's how Wall Street works.
It is.
Okay, if you owned, let's say you own QSR this morning, restaurant brands. Well, that's because Pat Doyle did a great job.
Right.
But if you owned
McDonald's,
then that you screwed up.
I'm an idiot.
That's the way it works. I wish it weren't. That's the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
Own it or get into another business. Okay? Go to a tool and die maker. I don't care.
I've been thinking about that. Thinking hard.
That's act two.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to make that transition at some point. Tool and die. It's where I'm headed.
Before that, though, we'll get Cramer's Mad Dash. Countdown to the opening bell. Take another look here at the pre-market as we wrap up April in a minute.
Hi, I'm Ben Rizzuto, wealth strategist at Janus Henderson Investors. Is a brighter future possible? At Janus Henderson, we think it is. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. We know that this means our thinking and our investments are helping to shape millions of futures. At Janus Henderson, we are committed to helping you invest in a brighter future for the next 90 years and beyond. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
All right, time for a Mad Dash, 22 minutes into the show. And we haven't mentioned NVIDIA.
Do you remember NVIDIA? Do you remember that?
I do. I remember.
Okay, do you remember the piece in 60 Minutes, which was a piece mostly about whether we'd all be taken over by robots?
Yeah, sure.
I will tell you that here's a piece by UBS, and it's talking about dollars, how much they're going to make. Earnings per share to 41 following supply chain. 41. Well, David, this is cheaper stock. It's cheap stock. And they're talking about shipment black for Blackwell in December. Now, they think that means there's going to be a product hole. I think Blackwell ships earlier. Now, Blackwell is the big one that makes it so that a lot of people feel they can do video. That's what I want. When people think Blackwell, they should be thinking that you can inject video, and then when you want to do inference, it will be able to do the video for it. And that's a rather remarkable thing. Right now, we're very good at commands, at words. But if we get video going, wow.
What does that mean? What are you actually saying?
So you want your robot to act like Daniel Craig in Bond. Well, it will watch Daniel Craig and he'll, and it'll do it.
It'll do it.
It'll do it. And I think that what happens when you see that is, wait a second, how did it do that? Well, it just ingested video. It's no longer just print. I mean, right now it can be Moby Dick in a second, big deal. But when you can put movies in, David, I can project you to be Cary Grant.
Really?
Or John Garfield.
John Garfield is the one that does come up more often.
Right. But I'm just saying that video is the next frontier. And if you can be able to make video and do things, then you can teach robots to do things that we've never believed. Robots will not talk like this. Robots will talk like, hey, how you doing, partner?
So
you can
program
a robot to do
conceivably,
anything.
Conceivably, when it starts to actually be used, could leapfrog the technology.
Right, and also if you're Amazon, I mean, you can just do it. These guys think, one of the things that's great about Jensen, he says, look, I don't know if you saw it in the interview, he said, I don't know what people can do with this, but we know that they can have it. So you'll be getting, I tried to look at Getty Images, a little stock, because Getty Images, they're using a lot of that stuff.
Right.
But when I went to the bar, the NVIDIA bar, with the robot didn't know much.
No.
Now the robot will be so smart that when I get to Cinco de Mayo, it's really just Modelo versus Corona. He's not going to say to me, how would you like a Jack Daniels and Diet Coke? No. You can be suave, David.
That would be a first.
No, it's big. Blackwell's huge, and I think that this UBS piece is actually a little too negative about Blackwell.
All right. So you take a look at shares of NVIDIA, perhaps going to be down, along with the broader market, of course, as you just saw from the futures board. We've got an opening bell just 5 minutes away. Don't forget, you can catch us anytime and anywhere by listening to and following the Squawk on the Street opening bell podcast.
Watch 3M today, double beat Jim, guides around the midpoint, going to reset the dividend.
Yeah, look, I mean, David, one of the things that is just really horrible, and David, I want to talk to you about this because I think it's really one of the, it's not a disgrace or anything, but it turned out that Mike Roman did not have a good hand, and he didn't know it when he took over. He did not know about all the groundwater spoilage. He didn't, because he disclosed everything that he did know as soon as he got it. He didn't know about the combat arms hearing loss.
Right.
He's had to spend a huge amount of time trying to get things behind them, at the same time doing a healthcare spinoff, being sure that the dividend is not, well, he wanted it not slashed, but being sure the dividend is trying to at least be somewhere, because it's a dividend aristocrat. But what he did was he cleaned up the mess, and now they've got a new CEO, and the new CEO's got a clean slate. What a great thing. I think he's a hero.
You do?
Yes, I do. I think he's a hero. I think that he figured out that he had to address these problems, get them. By the way, I think J&J has to, too. J&J, want the stock at 170? Address the problems with talc.
Right. They did finalize the legal settlements for public water suppliers as well as combat arms, the earplugs. Which is important, and to Jim's point, a lot of challenges along the way for, now we're talking at 3M here, of course,
right,
for Mr. Roman as he led the company, and the transition is coming.
Right.
You think that dividend change in the dividend is going to be important for shareholders or no?
I think there'll be some people who just say, listen, I'm in it because it's been one of the great dividend aristocrats of all time.
Yeah.
But I think I like the guy who put it on as firm as footy as possible. And the next thing you know is the dividend can go back up because there's no longer the existential crisis of 3M has been removed.
Well,
by a
the
guy.
Market is responding in the sense that it might have expected it was going to happen.
Right. And I think that when you take off the existential problems, then you got to hand it to the CEO, even if what he did was have to trim the dividend. These guys, and they get lawsuits. Like J&J's got these talc lawsuits, and they don't stop. And when you spoke to them 4 or 5 years ago, it sounded like they had something cooking. No, because you've got to defeat them or make deals with them, but you can't just ignore them.
At the big board today, it's ALS Ride for Life, raising money and awareness for ALS. At the NASDAQ, it's Bina Capital, celebrating its recent listing via SPAC. Between 3M and McDonald's and Coke, Jim, that's three big Dow names right there.
Yeah, I think Coca-Cola is business as usual. To me, if anything, I want to buy it. Remember, Becky's going to the pilgrimage this weekend when you go see Warren Buffett, he likes Coca-Cola. And I think James Quincy's done a terrific job. The margins are good there. You get a 3% yield. No one ever got hurt as a manager buying Coca-Cola, and they did a good job. Diet Coke's doing real well. Coke Zero's doing really well. Latin America's doing really well. America's doing really well. The Amazon channel's good. David, there's only so much you can do with it. It is, in the end, carbonated water.
Yes, with a lot of sugar.
Well, you can have the zero.
Oh, zero, yeah.
I'm a Coke Zero guy.
I don't drink soda, so I wouldn't know.
Well, I'll tell you what, taking 13 points of price will get your attention.
And didn't hurt?
Wow.
I mean, think about that. I mean, here's a guy who really understands his audience. It did not get hurt. I posited to James, people don't want to buy this. See, I think when I look at PepsiCo, I think there's a truce.
Truce.
I don't think Coke and Pepsi are trying to kill each other, beating them over the heads anymore. I think that may be over.
Uh-oh. Sounds like a job for Lena Khan.
Yikes.
No, David, she's got to stop the handbag problem.
Yeah, now asking for some information on Vizio Walmart.
Oh, no.
It's got a second request.
Oh, Vizio, no. Vizio, it ain't so.
Yeah, it did. It got a second request.
My God.
Doesn't mean that they're going to
watch,
do something.
It's watch it be Colgate and Crest, I'm telling you.
Excuse me? What about Colgate?
Maybe they talk.
Who?
Colgate and Crest. Maybe they talk.
Colgate and
Crest.
I mean, Procter & Gamble.
I'm just saying she's willing to go after anything. But I like her on the handbag issue because that's got to stop.
That was interesting. That was the hole in the donut.
The endless price increases in handbags got to stop, David. You're so cavalier.
I was very surprised when you actually signed on to believing that lawsuit was justified, but...
Meantime,
you always surprise us, Jim.
The head of Ericsson in this interview in the FT today saying that EU regulators are, quote, driving Europe to irrelevance.
Wow.
So it's happening all around the world.
They have, you know, what I come back to sometimes is this, by the way, is regulation, sort of broadly speaking, as well on the wireless industry. I mean, I can remember having covered this industry since its infancy when Europe was ahead of us.
Oh, my God.
Far ahead of us.
Novo Nordisk.
And then they basically took out all the profit motive from the industry.
Yeah, Nokia and Ericsson.
No, they had Vodafone.
Head to head.
Forget that. I'm talking about the Vodafone and the other big players. And they took out all the profit incentive from the business entirely. And then what do you know? They made no progress.
No.
And now their wireless networks are not what ours are.
They're not all that capitalist over there. I mean, that's a problem.
No.
They're capitalist.
Then again, people do seem pretty happy over there. So there is that.
They're happy.
They are happy.
I left that.
We're going to fold that in the GDP.
That's a Dalai Lama
What would Jefferson say? I mean, the pursuit of happiness.
How about Lama?
It's literally written in the doc.
Yeah. So maybe there's part of it that they're getting right, even if... We outpace them now in wireless.
You have a good point, Dave, when you bring up the kind of four agreements thing that you're working on.
Yeah.
Four agreements.
Four agreements.
You don't know the four agreements?
No. I try to keep up with you when it comes to my knowledge of history, but no.
Four agreements, you got to be good to yourself. You got to be honest to people. No, I'll get you a copy. Take it two hours to read.
After the show, we'll work
on
that.
Walgreens, okay? Let's get to that. How are they going to make a... Look, the dividends, the yield's really good in Walgreens.
Probably
so is APT. How's that happen, David? How's it happen that a stock could go down and yet the dividend goes higher? Because it's not the dividend. It's the yield.
It is the yield. That is true. And the dividend yield on Walgreens now is 5.68%.
After what Walmart said about clinics, it makes you think, how can CVS do well with all those clinics?
Yeah, no, they're not disclosing the number of jobs affected, but they do cite challenging reimbursement rates, rising costs.
Labor, they can't find nurses. The whole thing was a disaster. But unlike most companies, what is really terrific, they took the hit. They just said, look, we're not making any money. They took the hit. They're big boys. I'm impressed by Walmart. And they're putting out the new food for the private label. Walmart just continues to impress me by willing to cut their losses if something's bad and stay with it if something's good. And that's what you must do. Look what happened with Walgreens. They stuck with it all the way down. I want to hear what CVS has to say. They've got clinics all over the place.
Yeah. Are you surprised by GE Healthcare?
All right. My Chapel Trust owns GE Healthcare, and I know that Peter, the CEO, will talk to us about it. I am surprised that it's down this much, down 10%, because they did keep their earnings projections. Peter Arduini has to be disappointed himself, but so far has not expressed that. My Chapel Trust knows it, and that, therefore, once again, we know what to say. It's not Arduini's fault, it's my fault. But it's been a great stock, we're up nicely on it, and we want to buy it. We want to upgrade. We want to buy that stock because a lot of that could be China, and I think that the second half is going to be strong. So there you go. I like it.
It's a big decline.
Oh, yeah, it's a...
Sorry, I was just noticing.
Oh, double miss.
Yeah.
Sorry.
9%. I'm not piling on.
Don't wince with every bit of information.
How do you live? I mean, you got to take all this. You take it so personally.
You bet I do. Oh, when I came out, I saw it. I was walking in at 6 o'clock. I saw I missed on that one. And I said, you know what, Jim? You suck. I didn't say he sucked. I said, I suck.
You don't. You don't.
No.
You
that's
don't.
That's not the way it's played. I've been in this for 42.
Oh, I know you.
For 42 years.
I know you.
And it wasn't him.
I remember
it
when you were a young man.
It wasn't Peter. It was me. You see, because I believed. Now, at this price, it's actually good. But I'm saying, look, you know, look, you see all these trading shows. This is what it's really like. You don't say, like, hey, I'll buy that. It looks good. It's like, how could I have gotten that so wrong? The quarter was good last time. They did great. GE managed to sell some stock higher. I got to look into it. Now, maybe it's not as bad, though. The problem is that they did have a China problem. But maybe it's a buy. It's
right.
Not, you know, maybe it's a buy.
Right.
I want to see if it's a buy. But I still feel badly. Yes, I do. Because you know why? People pay me really good money for a product that I put out. And they did not pay me good money in order to miss on GE Healthcare. They paid me to get it right. And they deserve that.
Understood.
So they also, by the way, deserve that me say I screwed up. Because I can't do it. I can't say he screwed up. They don't care. And they don't. They have a right not to care. Because it's my job to do it right. Not their job. There. Okay. There's my epistle. That's
right, we can run that tape now whenever one of your stocks goes down. And then we can save ourselves some time. You want to talk Samsung, guys? I mean, it is one of the more important companies in the world's economy.
Sure.
With chips and phones. Obviously pretty important to South Korea. And had earnings that were far above at least what it was recorded
a
year. It was
true
a blowout. Yeah.
Line by line, that was a good blowout.
It was. And they may be benefiting a bit as well from the weakness of the Korean won against major currencies. But overall, a very strong quarter. Jim, not sure what it portends when it comes to either chips or phones or anything else.
No, it's not clear that what the exact reason. I said the same thing. Who's it? Well, who else does it read through? Do you go with Skyworks? I mean, NXPI is auto. That's not what you go with. We know that Micron's doing very well.
And memory did return to profitability for Samsung as well.
And Micron's been sensational. So I felt, go buy Micron. It's obviously that this is a business that's gotten much better. MU.
Yeah.
And I thought this Sanjay Mehrotra, I think he's doing a fantastic job. The stock's only up 45 cents. I would be buying that off of Samsung right here. That was a very good
call. We also didn't mention Huawei profit up sixfold. And speaking of which, Citi does cut Apple to 210, trims it by about 10 bucks. But the strength of their smartphones in China, Jim, appears to be real. Huawei's.
I'm with Tony Saganegi.
You are?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely with him. See, he liked it. He cut his price target to 175. Oh, no, that was when there was the 3-for-1 split 7 years ago. Make that six. That was a critical, mean comment.
It was. I'm just letting it go. You got a thing for him.
I don't know. Look, his numbers have always been right. It's direction that he's been wrong.
Yeah.
By the way,
Apple shares were up sharply yesterday on that upgrade from Bernstein that we're referring to.
They're up a couple
of percent.
How much
Tony Saganagi and down a bit today. Guys, I'm going to talk Paramount. I also want to talk NBA. Let's start off with Paramount, of course, a company I've followed closely. And its CEO I've interviewed, I don't even know how many times, no longer, Bob Bakish, says goodbye, as had been anticipated, at least based on reporting we got late last week from a number of outlets. Told you yesterday would be announced after the close. It was, along with earnings. And now they've got a troika running Paramount. Can't really recall that many successful companies that were run by a troika of executives.
That's
not the typical thing you go with when you're sort of looking for true success, but that's where they stand right now. They got three different guys running Paramount, all oversee different parts of the company that they have been overseeing prior to Mr. Bakish's departure. It's hard when you got the wind in your face. It's, you know, everybody looks like a hero when they got the win at your back. But man, I mean, he has had it. That is Bob Backer, certainly the entire tenure
the
in terms of trying to navigate.
What was the Showtime?
Streaming. Well, you're referring to the fact that they may have had significant bids for Showtime, but he chose to roll it in terms of their overall streaming plan as opposed to selling it and potentially garnering a significant return. Something that, yes, in the press at least, not my reporting, has played out in terms of some tension between him and control shareholder Shari Redstone. Cutting the dividend didn't help in terms of at least her reaction to that. And then his and or at least the way that Some have said they have gone about trying to slow this process that is underway between Skydance and Paramount.
Yeah.
May have contributed to his exit. There's so much on all sides of this, but he's out. They got three people running the company, and if you are the special committee trying to decide between a Skydance deal and the status quo, well, my sense is the status quo just went down a bit in overall value because, Jim, I don't really recall a lot of success when you have three people running a company.
I'm trying to remember when. There was a franchise that was very good when I was growing up. It was called the Three Stooges. It lasted forever.
I don't.
And by the way, as soon as, hey, don't forget, when Shemp left, they had Joe Ray on hand.
As for where things stand in terms of these continued negotiations between the special committee and Skydance, they continue to make what is some progress, but I will tell you, having sort of gotten a sense from both sides, the Skydance side certainly will look at the current potential status quo and say, listen, we came up, we have a $3 billion pipe, we're going to be paying a premium for some percentage of stock held by the B holders, a control premium, and we're going to, when we do the exchange ratio for buying Skydance, we're going to assume a far higher stock price for Paramount than is currently the case. So we're doing what you wanted. And now we're more or less done. You got a charter renegotiation standing out there. It could be a real risk, although I am hearing at least it could. Some are saying it could end up better than as anticipated. We'll see. And you've got the prospect, again, of this three-headed, this Hydra running the company, which is not particularly good. So will Skydance come up even from here? I'm still hearing there's a gap. And does it mean that they don't get there? I don't know. I just don't know at this point. Exclusivity expires on Friday. That may or may not be important because you can continue to negotiate after that. Will Sony put in a letter of some kind that offers real granularity in terms of what it wants to offer along with its partner Apollo? Nothing yet, but that could be in the
outcome. How about the basketball? Can you give us the basketball?
Sure. On the NBA, different story entirely. There's a battle going on right now between Warner Brothers Discovery, which has the rights right now to the NBA, obviously TBS TNT, and our parent company Comcast. ESPN is done, 11-year deal. They'll have the finals. That's done. An Amazon deal is, again, this is other reports, not my reporting. Disney, I can tell you, both from others, and that's done. But Amazon likely to get a streaming package or a package as well. And then the battle is Warner Brothers Discovery versus our parent company. Reports, not from me, have Comcast offering as much as $2.5 billion. If that number is to be believed, it's a very high number. It may be one reason why Comcast shares are down a bit today. Another, you also can see that Warner Brothers Discovery is down sharply because will it have to come back and compete? It does have matching rights. All right, those matching rights go into effect after the exclusivity period expires, which it has. Now, it's not clear, is that entirely monetary? Is it also go to sort of what the thing looks like from a, in terms of protections or like terms?
Okay.
But there are matching rights, and the question, Jim, becomes, are they going to be there or not for what is a very important property overall?
Great
for the NBA, great for player salaries, great for ownership. Rates being paid here.
I read that, I work for Comcast, and the first thing I said was like, that could be fabulous, because NBA is very exciting.
NBA is exciting. It could help with Peacock to a certain extent, where you have games there, and then obviously with the network as well. It should be interesting to see how that plays out at this point. But I can tell you sort of, ESPN's happy. They're done. They did it. They didn't let it go past exclusivity.
Right.
Be curious to see the Amazon deal as well, Jim. But those are big numbers.
Right.
Those are big numbers. To refresh, it's Warner Brothers ESPN right now, but it seems like, in other words, you're going to get fewer games for a lot more money is basically what you're talking about. So you're adding Amazon, and then you got this battle between Comcast and Warner Brothers Discovery, conceivably.
It's hurting people. Now, David, I want to see if David gets this. What is the one industry that is doing the most? If we had to be like The Graduate with plastics, what would it be at this point?
The one industry.
You know how like you got to be into plastics?
Yes, plastics.
What is it?
What is it?
You have to be into HVAC.
Oh, I would not have gotten that.
HVAC, because train HVAC reported this morning.
Yes.
Great HVAC
yes
number. Carrier had an amazing
Carrier
HVAC
had
number
a strong quarter.
David, HVAC.
Okay, why is that, Jim? What's going on with HVAC?
Well, because the government gave you big subsidies to redo. There's a big K-12.
To be more energy efficient.
Energy efficient. And these are companies that are benefiting from the Biden administration's belief in climate change. I don't know whether where you are on the issue.
I believe.
You do?
Okay, yeah, then I believe that it's a real thing.
The thing that, for instance, Carrier bought this great, really fabulous pump division in Europe. From the Germans, Trane is just a technological miracle. And these stocks are, they don't quit, and it's just, it's a testament to how they are about trying to best the environment, make the environment good while still getting enough power. Eaton, same thing, another 52-week high. Environment good and power. This is data center. They originally thought the data centers were going to grow around 16, 17, now they're growing around 25.
Nice raise guidance from Eaton as well.
Yeah,
big miss, though, here on Chicago PMI.
Oh,
let's get to Rick Santelli.
Wow,
hey, Rick.
Hope.
Yes, this is April. April Reed for MNI's Chicago PMI. We all know manufacturing isn't the bright spot. 37.9. We're expecting a number around 45. This is the lowest level month over month since June of 22, so we'll call it almost 4 years. It's the fifth consecutive read under 50. And it's not a 20th month since we've had a reading above 50. 20 months, going back to August of 22. Interest rates haven't budged on this. And I think the reason is, you know, is this a stagflationary scenario? Is this giving us any clues about the service sector? And we'll be getting some of those numbers over the next several days as well. And we also have conference board confidence coming up at the top of the hour. Suffice it to say, yields are elevated today, taking back some of the drops it's had since last Thursday when we had the weak GDP, hotter inflation levels. Stagflation seems to be rhyming on many of these numbers. Walk on the Street will return after a short break.
Take a look at some S&P laggards this morning. A lot of them pivoting around earnings. We talked about GE Healthcare, talked about Molson Coors. David brought you up to speed on Warner Brothers in the race for these NBA games. We'll watch it, although off the initial lows on the back of that weaker than expected Chicago PMI, 5104 S&P. Stop Trading with Jim's coming up next. Let's get to Jim and Stop Trading.
Piece in the paper about, in the journal about Goldman and talks to unload GM credit card. I do want to just point out, we don't know if this is necessarily true. It's kind of unconfirmed, but Goldman continues apace to get out of these deals. Now, they've made it, just so you know, Apple reports this week, they've made that card into something that actually someone might want to buy. But I continue to like the stock of Goldman Sachs, if only just because they are just undoing. I like these companies who undo. They make mistakes and they change.
You're referring to Walmart clinics?
Yes.
Goldman Cards?
These are companies that have confident CEOs who say, you know what, this was a mistake, and I'm reversing it. And that's why I think that if Goldman comes down, you buy the stock. Because when you get out of these things that are not your core competence, your stock's going to go higher.
By the way, Katie Huberty, Morgan Stanley, nice chart today where they upgraded large cap banks earlier in the year. Since then, median capital markets beat was 11%. And they say still relative to nominal GDP, M&A, capital markets, loans are still they're below the 20-year, 30-year average.
Still get that 11, 12 multiple. Bank of America has a very, very low multiple. A lot of that's filled because their bond positions, which they can hold to maturity, are hurting them. It's 11 times earnings. But I just think that Goldman is just showing me that if they can unload the Apple card, I shouldn't say unload. If someone wants to take advantage of the Apple card, their multiple's going to go up. So just be aware that the banks have real optionality. And David, it's all about HVAC.
It's all about HVAC. I will keep that in mind. I will instruct.
The line is exactly how do you meme. That's the line.
Yeah, that's exactly
yes.
Right. And I would just say
exactly
that
how do you meme?
We are in an era where if you are trying to control the climate, you're golden.
Okay. Tonight, Quincy.
I have Coca-Cola. I have American Express,
and
I've got restaurant brands, which is QSR.
Wow, what a show!
Well, I work hard to get these guests.
Yeah, you took Quincy. That was big.
That's going to cost you.
That was big.
Not
getting
sure how.
Quincy.
Uh-oh.
David, it's not about friends. It's about partners. It's really about profits for our viewers.
It is.
And I'm sorry that I had an outburst about being wrong, but our people who watch me are betting on me being right. So when I'm wrong, I have to own that and say it.
Jim, we'll see you at 6. Can't wait. Meantime, we appear to be closing out April on a weak note. Dow down 230. Don't go away.
You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
All opinions expressed by the Squawk on the Street participants are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by them on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed on this podcast as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of an opinion. Such opinions are based upon information Squawk on the Street participants consider reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and/or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Squawk on the Street disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Squawk on the Street disclaimer.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.